Hi, my loves. My name is Ruby Lee, entrepreneur, digital nomad, croissant-obsessed free spirit, and founder of the Own Your Hustle movement. And this is the Own Your Hustle podcast. Here, you'll be so motivated to start that business you've always wanted to, grow it unapologetically, and go all in earning powerfully with ease and grace. I'm so excited that you're here and listening in, and I'm so grateful that you made it. So welcome to the Own Your Hustle way of life, full of freedom, a dose of woo-woo, and plenty of random tangent laughs along the way. You know, I started my company working 9 to 5 too as a recruiter. I was working for a ventures-based business in the urban cool city of Melbourne, Australia, and today I'm traveling the world, young family in tow, working with the most amazing humans ready to build a career and life by design. Strap in, my love. You are about to binge on all of the most incredible guests that I bring onto this podcast. And guess what? They started their businesses through purpose and calling, mostly while still working a day job. Let me also share this. I called my company Own Your Hustle as a reminder for us daily that we get to love our soul-led hustle. Own our decisions to go big. Stop playing small. Create with joy. Take the risk. Say yes to adventure. And from time to time, be okay with those meltdown moments. These episodes are filled with joy and strategy, spirituality and business, tactical tips, big picture concepts, musings, and of course, some of that ruby colored energy. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's get started. Hello! It is such a beautiful, gorgeous day here in Melbourne. The sun is shining and the sky is blue and clear. I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better day weather-wise. And yet outside, it is eerily quiet. Not a lot of cars on the road. Not a lot of people outside. So I know many of you can also resonate with this in your part of the world. And yeah, strange times. But also, can I just say here and now, I am no longer saying the term uncertain times. I've decided that does not sit in my vocabulary anymore, because the more I think about it, and I'll tell you a little bit about my last week from the last time we all caught up over the podcast, I decided that I was going to start creating certainty. And I've been sharing this in all of my groups. If you're in my masterminds, if you're in Side Hustle Slingshot, which started a day ago, I really am leading in with this theme around certain times. We are in certain times. We are in certain times because we have everything that we need inside of us to feel certain and to feel focused. One of the things that really helped me gain this certainty was writing down a list of what I was sure of. And, you know, there'll be things like, I'm sure that the sun is going to rise and the sun is going to set. So very simple things in our world. And I also started to write down, I'm sure and I'm certain that I'm able to still show up in my business and have a voice and have something to say to my community. And this then led me to, how am I being called to step up and lead? How am I being called to step up and lead? I have a really special podcast guest today. Sarah Irwin is going to come and chat to us about self-esteem and self-confidence and really building from the inside out, you know, having some strategies in place where we can start to bust through some of these fears, ways in which we can look at anxiety. Sarah is a social worker by 9 to 5. And as her side hustle, she runs a self-esteem and self-confidence coaching business. And if there's anyone that you'd like to turn to in this time who actually has a lot of studies in health sciences and a lot of physical on-ground experience working with, you know, with youth, and especially, you know, Sarah used to actually do a lot of relief work for homeless youth as well, you're going to want to hear from Sarah around how you can start to gain confidence and move through being the leader that you wish you had, becoming the leader that you wish you had. This is what I know is certain. This is what I know is true, that you have everything everything within you to make this come to life. Now, before we hear from Sarah, I wanted to share something that I hope is going to give you, you know, some inspiration. Last week, before I had launched Side Hustle Slingshot, I did actually go to a very dark place where I wondered if anyone was ready for an offer, whether I should be selling, whether I am insensitive to be able to, you know, put myself out there and put my services out there at this time. I was genuinely so unsure about how it would be received. And I got myself thinking in the lines of, who needs a business coach right now? The world has bigger problems. Why and where does my role sit? And how do I help contribute to society now as it stands? Has anybody else felt this way with your own niche or your own business? In my journaling, in my meditation, I just felt this overwhelming sense of they need you. They need you. Show up, lead, step up to the throne, be called up, be that person that is leading the way. So I decided that I would launch a $97 bootcamp for a week. I really just put it out there for 6 days in total, and it was an invitation to come and join me for 10 days to help start your online business. And in the first couple of days, I got 5 or 6 registrations. It was so amazing. I was like, yes, I am ready. 5 to 6 people. This is so cool. We're going to have the best time together. And I was so grateful. Then came the absolute unexpected. Day after day, as I'm showing up for my live streams, as I'm sharing from my place of leadership, as I'm sharing from a place of confidence, as I'm sharing from a place of knowing that I can absolutely help those of you who are wanting to start your online business and have some clarity. And more so than anything right now, we have time. We have so much time, especially if you are in the population where we're lucky, very, very lucky to hold jobs from our employers, and yet there's not much work to do. So I know that there is a big contingent of customers and my clients who have told me firsthand that their family members or, you know, their friends are literally in Europe and in the UK and even in the US and in Asia and in Australia who are earning high paying jobs, and you might be one of them, and suddenly there's not a lot of work to do. There's not a lot of meetings to attend. The workflow has come to a pause or a slowdown. And now you are bored shitless. You are so bored, and you are thinking about ways that you can use your mind and your brain. So that's where Side Hustle Slingshot came from. And from that place, we have enrolled 82 students. And I am so blown away by how the universe continues to just give in overflow. And therefore, I give in overflow. And so this was just a really, really, really beautiful moment in our business where I had initially doubted myself and doubted my intuition that there would be people out there who wanted to not only buy and be a part of the bootcamp, but also invest the time to build their online business. And so this is it. I want to encourage you right now, if you are an online coach, teacher, mentor, anyone that is having an online service-based business, which I believe is the majority of our listeners here in the Own Your Hustle tribe, we are really at the precipice of a huge economic boom in our industries. Absolutely massive. I mean, online schooling has been forced into a whole new world. There will be people, sadly, who will never ever return to their jobs again, just because right now during this season, companies are realizing, wow, like automation actually works, like virtual solutions actually work. And I'm not saying this to scare you, but I'm saying this because what I know is true is now you'll be given the opportunity and the time to discover what you actually want to do. And if that sits in the online coaching space and the online mentoring world, you are in the right place. So hang on to your hats, because I really believe in the next 2 to 5 years, the online coaching industry is going to go through a boom like we've never seen before. And even if you've had the conversation around, oh, but the marketplace seems so saturated and everybody's doing this, well, if you're not starting now, just you wait. In a year's time, you'll be so grateful that you started when you did. So
With all of that being said, and I'm so excited to welcome our guest, and she is so incredibly knowledgeable when it comes to self-confidence and self-esteem. If that's the thing that's been holding you back to start your business, to share your light with the world, to speak your message out to hundreds and thousands of people, then tune on in. Let's welcome Sarah Irwin to the podcast.
I am so excited because I'm sitting down with the wonderful Sarah Irwin. You will literally hop off this podcast going, her energy is just so infectious and you just want to be around it. You want to be around it. Sarah is someone who is so passionate about self-confidence, about self-esteem. She really helps individuals cultivate confidence in their life to start gaining more self-trust. Don't we all need that, especially in moments where we have those like dark and moody periods in our lives, in our businesses? So I thought it'd be amazing to have Sarah on here and talk about how she actually helps her clients activate their purpose and their potential. So welcome, Sarah, to the Own Your Hustle podcast.
Thank you. Hey, it's so funny being on the other end of this, hearing you do the intro when I like listen to the podcast and hear that all the time. So I'm very excited.
It's so amazing. So where are you dialing in from?
So I'm in Toronto, so in Canada. It is today, and it feels like spring at probably 0 degrees, and it's been freezing. So I have been fighting like cold and flu bugs for the past month. Yeah, so if you hear my voice croak, that is just the cold meds not working their magic.
We'll edit out the belching. Okay,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh my goodness. You know, Sarah and I worked together for a period of time, and I remember, Sarah, you'd be like, I have to trudge through the snow to get to a cafe because the internet's down. And you'd be like selfies in your like, big.
Oh no.
I have never seen jackets like this before. Like huge.
Oh my gosh.
Like a doona pretty much on your body.
It's so funny because that when we were finishing up our coaching, I just moved into my new apartment and they'd messed up the installation of my internet. So I was literally trudging through the snow for our coaching calls. And I was taking pictures and sending them to Ruby because she was in, was it Bulgaria that you were in?
I was in Bulgaria and it was like these little snowflakes.
And you're like, winter wonderland, it's so cold.
I'm Australian. Like one little snowflake, I would be like, oh my gosh, look at this. This is magical. Well, and all of my Canadian clients are like, no.
Hey, but you know, I remember like I lived in New Zealand for a year when I was in my like third year of university. I did an exchange and everything, like when it snowed, everything shut down. Everyone's like, snow day. And I'm like, you can literally see grass still over there. Like, it's like, I don't understand because I had no idea how to manage it. So,
oh my God, you make me laugh.
I've seen
so much.
Your part of the world and how it happens.
Oh my gosh. All right. So, let's talk about what brought you to this line of work with self-trust, with self-esteem, self-confidence. What drew you to this amazing niche?
So, I mean, I guess it's, you know, as they say, our niches are usually our own, you know, a version of ourselves, like a past version of our current self, right? And so for me, a big part of that was my own struggle with figuring out what I wanted to do in my life, and sort of feeling like I was an out of the box sort of person. Like I would throw myself into these situations where everyone said I should want to be, and they just didn't quite fit. So it took a lot of work to really own the fact that what I want to do and my beliefs and my values and my convictions that all of those were valid, along with struggling with, you know, like everyday self-esteem issues that a lot of us struggle with as well. So like for me, a big part of it was, you know, finally finding the trust in myself to go back to school for social work. And that came from literally like a really low point, as it often does, where a job that I thought was going to be like a career job just really wasn't working out. And I remember like being like, oh, it'd be so great if I fell down these stairs at the subway, because if I broke my ankle, I get a few days off, you know what I mean? Like, so that kind of thing. And then anyways, I went back to school for social work and I found that like, as soon as I was doing what I wanted to do, everything sort of fell into place. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden I was being praised for my skill set. I felt good at work. I felt my energy was a lot more vibrant. I was myself. I was connecting better with the right people. I wasn't losing a lot of time and energy in the wrong things. And that was something that people told me not to do because social work wouldn't make a lot of money because I had to take on student loans, right? So that was a really big lesson for me in trusting myself to do what I knew that I had to do. And so like that, you know, put together with just, you know, being someone struggling through my 20s to find the confidence to really work my way up in any career, really, and like fight with the competitive job market and all of that. Like, I just feel like the biggest thing that I saw is that over time, after it being pointed out by several supervisors and friends and all of that, everyone telling me, Sarah, you have all this potential, but like, you don't trust yourself. You don't, it's your confidence. Like, you're your own worst enemy. Was I realized that I was A, and B, most people are, right? So that's sort of why I started this as kind of like a, you know, an extension of my social work practice, but moving into coaching in that it helps people sort of develop those action plans and really tap into their patterns and what they can do to get beyond that lack of self-trust and where they are. And my whole thing is owning who you are, learning to really own who you are. A lot of that is like sifting through external pressures and really like tuning in to your own needs and your own values, and going through that self-reflection and self-discovery, learning to trust that and like figuring out where you want to go from there in order to live a purposeful life and reach your potential. And I really do believe that that is tied with like a life that aligns with what you're really meant to do. Cause I feel like when people are doing something they don't really want to be in, they're stifling their personality. So they're actually stifling so many other things, like their skill sets, their energy, all that other stuff that will like attract what they want. So, yeah, that may have been a long tangent, but, yeah.
No, that is, you said so many things in there, which I was just nodding my head going, yes, I remember that. I went through that phase in my career where I was the overlooked candidate for a promotion because the feedback was I lacked self-confidence. Now, some people might be thinking, oh my gosh, like Ruby, you're so confident, but
right, I would,
you know what it
that,
was?
Right?
Yeah, but do you know what it was, Sarah? It was that I wasn't in my life's work. I wasn't in my purpose work. And it's coming back to what you're saying, where you have to trust that some things in your life don't quite fit, or they might even fall apart because it's the universe trying to sort of nudge you in a direction to say, what about over here? Let's trust that intuition. Let's trust where your gut is taking you. How do you trust? How do you know, that's the way to go? You talked a little bit about it just then, but you know, what are some ways that you can lean into that trust, or how do you advise your coaching clients to work through that phase and actually gain more self-confidence through that internal trust compass?
There's so many different ways we could approach that, right? Like, I think a huge part of it is examining the evidence of like worst case scenarios and where we're at now, right? So when we're not trusting ourselves, like obviously people are going to be coming to me because they're not completely satisfied with where they are in their life. They feel like they could be more. They feel like they could be somewhere different, right? And they could reach something better. So if they're coming to me with that, then clearly there is something there that is not working when they're not trusting themselves, right? So they're trying to do what they've been told they should be doing, right?
Yes.
So listening to those shoulds and that external pressure from society. But as they're doing that, they're not feeling happy. They're not feeling fulfilled, right? So I would really work with them to hone in on what's happening now, like how that's feeling on a day-to-day basis, how that's impacting their relationships, their career, their life as a whole, you know, how that's feeling emotionally, where it sits in their body when like where they're feeling that when they're doing something that doesn't quite feel aligned, right? And then examining the evidence of like why it makes sense for you to go in the direction you want to, right? So for someone who wants to be a digital nomad like you, right? So
yes.
Say you have someone who like their entire life has wanted to go travel, but everyone in their life says, you know, it's irresponsible, you know, you're giving up your life. What you should be doing at this age is putting money towards your pension and working your way up in a company, right? So you're not happy in that. And you're dreaming of this other thing. You know, you're not really getting anywhere by listening to what everyone else is telling you anyway. But the self-trust piece comes with like actually examining like, okay, how long have I wanted this? What in my life tells me that this is the path that I'm on? Who else has done it? Have people done it successfully? It could be tapping into the fact like that, like, where do you feel most energized? Where do you feel like you are your best self, or where you're the most skilled or the best side of you is coming out, right? And if that says when you're traveling and when you're discovering the world, and because it allows you to be inspired and that allows you to, like connect with more people, put forward your best work. It energizes you in a way that makes you put forward your best content. Like that stuff, when you really start to tap into it and like lay it all out there, will help us cultivate that self-trust because it will start to make sense, right? And then there's a lot of just like doing it anyway, right? Starting to test it, starting to push yourselves in the direction where like in small ways, even like as practice, right? Like things that you didn't think you could ever do, right? Going and trying something new, seeing that you accomplished it, writing it down. That's marking our progress, right? So then we see that we can overcome those things. And we see that the worst case scenario isn't that bad.
You said something really important here, which I'm now seeing in even the steps I took to live this lifestyle now. So from 2 years ago, quitting my day job, starting the business, going full-time into traveling the world, and just having this be my new norm, what I did in that transition period was exactly what you spoke about, where I was searching everywhere on the internet and even in just like my own physical network for someone who had done this before, for someone who had traveled with kids because I have kids, and someone who had actually built a business with their partner and not ripped each other apart, and someone who had felt like going into an entrepreneurial online business role was not just doable, but extremely abundant. You know, like I was looking for all of my expanders in that space to exactly what you said, fall into self-trust more, that if so-and-so can do it, why can't I? We're all made out of the same matter. We are all programmed, you know, in a way that we can push through adversities. So why can't I do it? And so much of what you said is like so bang on. And I think it's very important for this community to tune into that. Because if you're telling yourself you can't do it, you can't do it. Sometimes it's just because you're not surrounding yourself with the people who have done it, right?
Exactly. And also that worst case scenario piece is a really big one. Like what actually is the worst case scenario, right? So you go travel, you know, you decide that you don't like it and you're a little bit restless and that you feel like you want a more stable home. And then that gives you the perspective for when you go home to actually appreciate your stable home.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, or you love it, right? So like the worst case scenario, like, or like you run out a little bit of money and then, okay, what solutions could you find in that? If you actually map it out, it's really not as scary as that fear tells us it is.
It's right? So true. It's so true. The first time I quit my day job, the worst case scenario actually did come around where I realized very quickly the financial runway wasn't as deep as I wanted it to be. So my worst case scenario at the time was to go back to work, and I had to do that. So I found a part-time job, and it wasn't actually the worst case scenario. Like whilst I was in it, I met so many entrepreneurs. I ended up working in a startup, and that part-time role opened up so many more doors for me. Or I guess like in many ways, like it's led me to what I'm doing now. The people that I met in that part-time role helped me see that I was absolutely cut out to be a full-time entrepreneur. So sometimes the worst case scenario is the best case scenario, or it ends up being like, you need to just like go and pick up one more key to unlock one more door and then you're there. But it's a never ending journey, right? It's never ending.
Exactly.
One of the things that you talk about a lot, which I love, is the 5-5-5 rule. And you talk about, it's a really simple tool for tracking your progress and growth. Now, I wanted to bring light to this in this conversation because So many of us entrepreneurs get to the point where you feel stuck, like nothing is happening. What is even the point? And this is a really perfect tool that you can reach to. So can you share a little bit more about it?
So this is a really good thing to do when you're in doubt about the progress you've made. Because like I said, we are sort of our own worst enemies, and we often have that critic in ourselves come up. You know, I'm not where I should be. I wanted to be here, blah, blah, blah. But we don't really take the time to reflect on how far that we've come. And this is important for in the moment, getting rid of that critic, but it's also important for us to develop that resiliency and that trust that we can grow and we can learn things. So the next time we're approaching something new, we know that we've accomplished great things before, and we know we're able to make that progress. It's part of what I call gathering evidence. So gathering evidence that you can approach new things. You don't have to know everything about it. You can learn and learn. You can grow in it. And you can always improve, and that you will over time, and you will continuously change and grow. The 5-5-5 rule, it's essentially a reflection exercise. So the first step is to look at where you were 5 years ago. So first, though, I would say pick, just so you don't get completely overwhelmed with, you know, what you're looking into, I'd pick an area of your life that you've been working to improve, or just whatever's coming up for you in that moment that you're struggling with, whether that's, you know, your business isn't going as well as you thought, or, you know, your weight loss goals or whatever it might be, right?
Mm.
So you pick that area of your life that you're working to improve. And then once you have that, you look at, okay, where was I 5 years ago with this? So you start to map out, and I do suggest that people write it out, whether they journal it or just write out a list, or say it out loud, whatever works for them. So what did you know then that you don't know now? What weren't you able to do then that you're able to do now? Who were you then compared to who you are now? And go into as much detail as you feel is necessary to give you a complete picture of where you are, right? So some people might go more in depth and kind of write out their entire identity at that stage, write out where their confidence was at that stage, you know, what they believed they could do, what they didn't believe. Or it might even suffice to just say, like, I knew nothing about building a business. I had no idea how to market. I didn't have any business skills and didn't ever think I could start a business, right? So honestly, you can take this to any capacity that works for you, developing, depending on how much you need to cultivate that trust. So after 5 years ago, same thing with 5 months ago, right? So 5 years ago, then 5 months ago, where were you 5 months ago with this thing? So yeah, like, where were you at skill-wise? How are you feeling about it? Where was your confidence at? What were you able to do? Compare that with 5 years ago. Same for 5 weeks ago. So same idea. And then where are you now?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's so much perspective. I'm going to do this exercise after this podcast awesome. Interview. I have heard you reference it and talk about it, but we've never talked about it in depth. So I can hear now how powerful this tool is. And even as you're going through the steps, I'm going, where was I 5 years ago? Oh my goodness. Whoa. Like, what a change. What a different person I was back then. And then even as you said, 5 months ago, wow, like I was halfway through my nomadic journey and still so unsure about whether it was actually working, and and even like 5 weeks ago preparing to come back to Australia. I mean, this is amazing. Now, what do you do once you've got this picture? What comes out of it? What are some of the tangible next steps that you can draw from this?
Right. So, I mean, it could bring up a lot of stuff, good and bad, right? You might find there are some things that you're not quite where you want to be, but you're also going to find a lot of progress as well, right? So it's just also looking at that with in a non-judgmental way and saying, okay, so I didn't improve exactly in this area. So let's put that back on my priority list. But I also did this, this, and this, and this, and I've accomplished a lot of stuff. So, you know, clearly I have that ability to grow and to move forward. And then what I like to think, like to tell people is helpful is to use that to develop your goals. So once you see that you've been able to grow so much in those areas, then you can take that and your goals seem a lot more possible because you've already done it. right? It is written out there right in front of you. You can see all the progress you've made. So after that, I like people to try it with their goals. So where are you now? Where will you be in 5 weeks? Where will you be in 5 months? And where will you be in 5 years?
So, I love it.
Yeah. Yes. I just find it a really helpful way to allow you to goal set, but without being completely intimidated by the process, because you're doing it with the evidence of what you've already done right there in front of you.
Okay. So what if you see the 555 and, you know, we can be absolutely our harshest critic and you look at it and all you see are the things that you haven't done right. And you just nitpick on, oh my gosh, like I could have been so much further along, or I've really let myself down. What are some of the ways that, you know, you can almost like rewrite these really unhelpful thoughts or negative thoughts, which of course starts really hampering on our self-esteem? Do you have any advice on like some of the steps that we can take?
Oh yeah, for sure. So that's a really great question. That's a whole other thing I focus on as well, is rewriting thoughts. So
we need you back. We need you back on the podcast.
Yes, I would love to come back. So for that aspect of it, I also do looking at the evidence for that as well, right? So like, say what comes up is, can you give me an idea of like a thought that you would have, or something that you'd write down that said you hadn't made enough progress?
Oh yeah. So one for this tribe would be, I launched a course and no one bought it, or they're mid-launch and it seems like no one's looking at their launch, or there's just absolute crickets. And then you really you spiral out of control, like even halfway through a launch.
Right. And so what that comes down to too is the beliefs that are behind that as well. So that might be the initial thought. And then it might be, that means I'm not doing well. Mm-hmm. I can't really do this. And that might mean, that means that I'm failing, and that means mm-hmm. I'm worthless, and that means I'm stupid, right? It like goes a lot deeper than that, right? And then, so I would say in that case, we look at the evidence for and against that thought, right? So is it really true that no one's engaging with my content? Oh no, wait, there was that person last week who was really interested. They didn't purchase anything, but they're constantly commenting on my LinkedIn posts, and they're messaging me a lot, and they've also joined my Facebook community, right? Looking at that, okay, so am I really like, do I really think that, well, you know, what evidence is there that I'm stupid? Okay, well, I've developed this business from scratch. I'm also working a job on the side, right? So you look at the evidence for and against the fact. You might find some evidence, because we're our own critics, to support the negative, but you're also going to find, if you spend enough time in it, and you have to be sort of committed to doing this as well, because it is harder to find the good stuff before you're practiced at it, right? But like, when you're at it long enough, most people find that there's more good stuff there's more evidence against the negative thought than there is for it, right? And then after that, we come up with a like more realistic alternative thought. So that might be in that case. So no one bought my product. Okay. So, but people are engaging, so I'm doing something right. I just need mm-hmm. to like, this just means that I need to do a little bit more market research and reapproach it, but I am on the right track because people are engaging with the content, right? Instead of, I'm a failure, I can't sell anything, I have no idea how to do business, my product sucks, right? It's like, and then we can realistically examine what is working and what isn't. Because it's really not helpful and not useful and doesn't get us anywhere to get stuck in that negativity, right?
Absolutely. You know, as you're saying this, I'm thinking, doesn't everybody need Sarah in their lives? Like if you're an entrepreneur and you're thinking to yourself, I am literally in that situation, sitting down with someone like Sarah instantly makes you go, oh my gosh, I am just creating all of this havoc in our, you know, in my own mind. And it just becomes such a, almost like a real clarity exercise. And in that, it's so powerful. So you are completely making sense. And my mind is in overdrive right now going, oh my gosh, like this is such a useful exercise. Even, you know, sometimes when you're just like journaling and you're thinking about all of the aspects that you wish you had achieved, and it brings it back full circle. So, thank you so much for sharing. This is so beautiful.
Oh, of course.
So,
yeah.
when it comes to, so you're actually currently side hustling, right, Sarah? So you're in the thick of it. There's a lot of people here who will be listening in going, oh, Sarah's doing this full time. You know, what would she know about like building a business? Everything. You're doing this full time. So when we started coaching together, you were actually still working crazy hours, right? Like what were your hours like in the other job?
So I was doing street outreach. So I was working with people who are street homeless, and we were a 24-hour team. So I might not have been getting full-time hours all the time, but sometimes I'd work overnights 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. and 3 days later be on 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. And, you know, I wasn't sleeping. I had major insomnia issues. It was definitely very inconsistent. So yeah, like Ruby got me in some interesting states. I'd have a coffee. Also, it was like 6 p.m. my time. I'm on the balcony.
I know. But also like the Sarah that you guys are hearing now is the Sarah that I would get, you know, like your state was always just so cheerful. But how did you do this? So I really want to touch on this, because one of the things on this podcast is really highlighting the journeys of those that have like a side hustle or a dual hustle, or, you know, being multi-passionate. You built this outside of any kind of like normal work hours. So we talk a lot about, oh, it's like your 9 to 5 and then you can start your side hustle at like 8 p.m. Yeah, you did not have the luxury of doing that. And yet here you are building your side business and, you know, creating products and coaching and showing up somehow in your community and doing that consistently. Although I know you're always like, I need to be more consistent, but just given everything and the hours that you're working within, how did you find that discipline and have a life and have an amazing relationship and be a great dog mom? Like what, how did you
do all this? He's right here with me.
Oh my gosh.
So honestly, like it's funny because I just talked about my like progress mapping exercise, but like I also, I'm just going to like put it right out there. Like it is way easier to teach than it is to put into action yourself. And I acknowledge that. And I just want to be real. Like, I don't want to be one of those people who's like, I have it all together. Cause like, honestly, like my partner is constantly putting me in check about this. So yeah, just being real. But like, I think it does come down to, I guess like tapping into your values and what you really want. And that's a lot of what I focus on in my coaching too, is like, you know, what is important to you, right? And I think that for me, it became so clear in the work I was doing then. And honestly, I thought the 9 to 5 would be easier for me in that regard. And it really hasn't been, especially starting a brand new job in that role. In that, you know, it's new and the energy that goes into that is exhausting too. But like, what I'm finding is that when I do find time for the business stuff, it energizes me because it's where I want to be, right? So it's like, it matters so much to me to not be stuck in a 9 to 5 or on shift work for my entire life, or for having the option to do, you know, I still want to be a social worker, but I'm probably going to have like part-time in some capacity or casual work eventually. Right. And the ability to have that freedom is so important to me that like every time I am just exhausted and like unable to feel like working on it as possible, it also really like checking in with my values around that really drives home how much I need it to be a thing. If that makes sense. Right.
Like, yes.
And it's like, it becomes very clear when you're in a job that isn't feeling quite aligned with where you want to be, or isn't quite what you want to be doing, where you want your energy to go, when you're resenting going to work because you could be working on your business, or you're homesick and you're like, oh my gosh, I can engage with my community, or you know what I mean? So it does become clear. So,
I'm like giggling over here because that was definitely me. I would feel I'd never take sick days, but you know, the one or two times that I did, I'm like, maybe I can squeeze in like a couple of hours of side hustle work because it just brought me so much life and it made me so happy. Or sometimes I would even take holiday or vacation leave to stay at home just so that I can build up my business a little bit more, you know, however that manifests in your work-life balance with your side hustle. I think what you're saying, Sarah, is so bang on. Like follow where the energy is, follow where the, literally like where the light is, where you feel so excited and just so on. And, you know, I'm sure you have moments like this all the time where you're like, oh, I just want to spend time with my community.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really just putting it in perspective for yourself, like what actually matters to you at the end of the day. Because like when you're in the 9-to-5, I get so swept up in the day-to-day that that voice of society that's like, you should just want to work your way up here and keep your benefits and blah, 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 blah. Like all of that is so, you're within the culture that you start to feel like you invalidate your business or the things that you really care about. But if you actually really check in with what matters to you, what you care about, and you do that on a regular basis, it's easier to stay in line with your goals and what you really want and keep that drive going.
Do you think it's really helpful? I mean, I'm sure it is, but your partner's also entrepreneurial. So yes. For those that don't have supportive partners, you know, I get a lot of questions around this because I also have a really supportive partner. I mean, he's obviously our co-founder in the business with me. But, you know, what would be your advice if you're surrounded by people who aren't supportive? And whether it's like partners or family members, mums and dads, like, you know, how would you advise someone to get through that? Especially because it really does have such a big weighting on self-esteem. And we have to do so much to just get to a certain point to do a live stream or to post something on Instagram with your face on it. And then, I don't know, your mum comments and goes, what are you doing? Like, it's like, there goes your self-esteem.
Exactly.
What do you do to like move through that?
Well, I think part of it is finding people to surround yourself with, right? And like aligning yourself with a community that is supportive. And like, obviously, like, I think you've talked a lot about this as well. It doesn't mean ditching your current friends, but it just means finding some other influences that normalize it as well. Mm. I know for me, a big part of that, like gathering evidence phase was like, I literally, and you were actually one of those. I found you through Erin Mae Henry's YouTube channel. I was literally just studying entrepreneurs. I was like finding entrepreneurs on YouTube and I was just watching content obsessively in order to make it feel normal.
Yeah, like, I did that too.
That was step number one, right? And eventually it sort of worked. And I think like really tapping into your why and how it makes you feel when you're doing this, how it makes you feel, what you want to accomplish, and then just keeping at it and keeping the idea in mind that like once you're there, none of this will matter.
Exactly.
You know, like people will jump on board when they see that, like if they're good friends and if they really care about you, like once you're, you know, making good money, they see that you're happy, your energy is better than it ever is. Like it might take some time to get there, but like eventually they will be like, okay, you were right. Right. They might not say it out loud, but they'll feel it.
So, yes. My gosh. For the first year that I left my day job, I kept in touch with a lot of my friends at work. And, you know, whenever we caught up, they would be saying with slightly like, I'm sure Opie gives you these eyes, like puppy dog eyes. It's like, is everything okay?
Yeah, he does.
You know, it's like, you know, and I would get that from my friends, just like, are you doing all right? Is everything tracking well? You know, and it was really from such a beautiful space. But at the same time, I'm like, I think so. You know, when you just absorb it and you go, yeah, I think I'm doing okay. I hope I'm doing okay. But it's because the community that I had at the time, it was absolutely not normalized. And I was the anomaly who people essentially felt a little bit like, you know, afraid for, or from a really caring point of view, they were just sort of like, we really wish the best for you, but. And that was the bit that eventually really did knock my self-confidence about. And I knew I had to normalize it. I had to find my people.
And a big part of that too, and I think we talked about that in our coaching as well, is that like, it's really important to consider what the purpose of their criticism is, right? Like there are some people who are just critics for the sake of negativity, but usually it's coming out of care from the only perspective that they know and from their own reality and their own understanding of the world. So like really they're trying to protect you, and it's because they care about you and they want the best for you. They just don't see things in the way that you see them yet. Right. So,
exactly.
And just like depersonalizing it, like it's not personal in that, like, yes, it's about you, but it's not about them not believing in you. It's them not believing in that world because they haven't seen it. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's really not about you at the end of the day. it's about something in their belief system or in their life that doesn't allow them to see it. Exactly.
Yeah, so true. Well, yeah. Sarah, before we finish up today, do you have any last wise words of advice? You've actually just given us so much, but what would be, you know, something that you could say to the Own Your Hustle tribe, especially in and around, you know, finding your purpose and really stepping into owning who you are?
My business is called High Esteem Coaching. And the idea of that is behind that is really to just hold yourself in high esteem. So what that means is respect yourself enough to believe that you deserve happiness and you deserve to get what you want and to work through those things that are holding you back, whether those are your belief systems, if that's confidence, if that's self-esteem, like respect yourself enough to do the work. Because at the end of the day, what that means is you're going to live a way more fulfilled life and your capacity to reach your potential will skyrocket. So it really just is like trusting that there is something out there for you that is exactly aligned with who you are, and trusting your intuition to take those small steps every day to get there.
That is so powerful. So everybody listening in, I'm going to leave all of Sarah's links in the show notes below. You can book in a one-off session with Sarah. You can look at deeper sessions with her that go for some time. Sarah, you are so amazing. You are such a light in this community. And you're just someone that I am honestly so honored to have crossed paths with, to have gotten to know. Aww. And I just really feel your gift is so needed in this world. So thank you for being on the podcast. So it's been amazing to have you on.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun to be here. So yes. Thank you so much.
Bye everybody.
Awkward ending.
We love it.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so two things real quick. If you love this episode, take a screenshot of it and make sure that you tag me, and I will also tag Sarah in if you haven't yet connected with Sarah. As I mentioned, all her links are below. And I would be so, so, so appreciative if you have loved this podcast for a long time and you haven't yet left a review, if you would so kindly leave a review, as it really helps get this message out to more people out there. In the meantime, I hope that this episode filled up your cup. And coming back to the start of this episode where I asked you, how are you being called to step up and lead? Now is the time. Love you all so much. And remember, you can absolutely own your hustle. Bye.